It seems to me that a Christian's attitude toward old age ought to be one of joy, with the prospect of seeing him whom we love face to face.
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about that subject that so few people want to mention, the subject of aging. We've been talking about the ways in which we try to fool ourselves and other people and fend off death. The thought of death is not a pleasant one for many. For a Christian, it would seem to me that it ought to be one of the most exciting things, the most exciting thing, really, because I can't think of any greater desire than to see Jesus Christ face to face. And the Apostle Paul said that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. But that wasn't a morbid desire in him. He recognized at the same time that it was probable that God was not going to allow him that privilege just yet because he had other things for him to do. And when I think of how blissful it will be to cross over the Jordan and to see my Savior standing on the other shore, that doesn't mean that I'm discontented with my lot here. I think we Christians are a little bit too edgy on this subject. And when I bring it up sometimes, I find people get offended and very protective of themselves and even of me. They say, oh, well, you're nowhere near that age. Well, who knows? We never know. But the question of aging is one that is rarely touched upon because it so easily leads to the thought of death. And in order to fend that off, there are many kinds of fun and recreation and activities and all sorts of ways of trying to fool ourselves into thinking that we're not getting older, we're just getting better, and we're having more and more fun. Sometimes there's a lust for fun. I think I read it in the book about the baby boomers, a book that I read recently. The title of it was Great Expectations. And I think that book mentions the fact that everything nowadays for that generation has to be fun. And I think that we older ones have picked up this idea that everything's got to be fun, fun, fun. And if it isn't fun, forget it. There's a lust for fun, a lust for recognition, a lust for activity, and a resistance to quietness and silence and solitude. When God told Elijah that he was to go into the ravine of Kereth, east of the Jordan, and to stay there all by himself, Elijah did as the Lord had told him. And he went and stayed in the ravine east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat morning and evening, and he drank from the stream. We don't know how long he was there, but after a while the stream dried up, and God told him to go somewhere else, to Zarephath. But if the Lord's time has come for you and me to be alone for a while, in a quiet place, in a place where we may not feel very useful, let's remember Elijah, one of the greatest of prophets, one of the prophets who had seen some of the most dramatic things, all by himself out there in the wilderness. Matthew Henry's comment on 1 Kings 17:3 is, if providence calls us to solitude and retirement, it becomes us to acquiesce. When we cannot be useful, we must be patient. And when we cannot work for God, we must sit still quietly for him. sit still, quietly for him. And I think of that verse in the book of Ruth, Ruth 3:18, where Naomi said to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall." It was a very vital matter to Ruth, the matter of her remarriage after she was widowed, and her mother-in-law's advice, "Sit still." There are times when we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and everything goes awry, and the time is spent apparently doing nothing. Strength is wasted. Time is wasted. I had an experience like this just a few months ago. I had my Aunt Anne visiting me, and it was time to get her to the airport, so we had made very careful, leisurely plans ahead of time. Her flight was in the afternoon, so I thought we'll do a little shopping on the way to the airport, then we'll stop at a nice place and have lunch, and then we'll go on to the airport. We carried out this plan. We got to the airport at about 1:30. Her flight was at 2:28. We looked at the monitor. Flight canceled. We went to the desk. Next two flights booked. "So what's the earliest flight that you can book her on?" I asked the agent. 7:00, he said. Here we were, 1:45 in the afternoon. No flights for her until 7:00. 5 hours to wait. What should we do? Well, there is an airport hotel, so I went in there and I inquired as to whether they had a day rate so that my aunt could just spend that time resting quietly in a hotel room. The day rate was $70 for those few hours. I thought, no way. So back we went home, 1 hour's drive. Anne lay down and took a nap. I went out and took a walk. And when the time came, back we went to the airport. Got there at 6:30 for a 7:00 flight. The agent informed us that the 7:00 plane was still on the ground in Pittsburgh. So I went back to stand in a long line for rebooking. Finally, at 8:00, I saw Anne onto her flight, another flight. I got back home at 9:30 after doing the grocery shopping on my way. I put the groceries away and I went to bed at 11:00. My normal bedtime is 9:00 when I'm at home because I like to get up early and spend the best hours of the day doing more important things than I would be doing if I were staying up late in the evening. And I thought of how I had expected to have most of the afternoon and the evening for my usual desk work. But Isaiah 49, verse 4 says this, "Once I said I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing, to no purpose. Yet in truth, my cause is with the Lord, and my reward is in God's hands. I have exhausted myself for nothing, and all the while my cause was with the Lord." I believe that the Lord gave me those words. It was exactly what I needed because it was exactly the way I was feeling. I have exhausted myself for nothing. But all the while, my cause was with the Lord. One of the prayers that I pray quite often says this, "In unforeseen events, let me not forget that all are sent by you. Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul, and with firm conviction that your will governs all." Some of you can think of experiences exactly like mine, where all the effort seemed to be wasted, the time was down the drain, all that energy for nothing. Just as the prophet Isaiah felt, "I've spent my strength for nothing, to no purpose." But God never wastes his servant's time. God never wastes his servant's strength. God never wastes his servant's money. One of the temptations of old age is to have anxiety not only over the future and what our death is going to be like and what horrors may precede that death, but anxiety over the past. And I think of an old gospel song that has comforted me so many times. My yesterdays, so dark with shame, he has forgiven. Oh, praise his name. My sins are gone. Thank God for peace at last. The blood of Jesus covers all the past. Do you fear death because you know that you're going to have to stand before your Maker as a sinner? Remember, my yesterdays so dark with shame, he has forgiven. Oh, praise his name. My sins are gone. Thank God for peace at last. The blood of Jesus covers all the past. And when I stand before his throne, I will stand dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Evelyn Underhill speaks of the purifying, abasing, and bracing experience of Christ's unrolling the small secret scroll of our own history. I've given quite a bit of thought to the fact that we are now in the last decade of a millennium. And I've been thinking not only of human history, but of that small secret scroll of my own history. And it is an abasing experience. It puts me in the dust when I think of my failures and my unfaithfulness to God. But it is a purifying and a bracing experience to think of his faithfulness to me. Don't fear the future. Don't worry over the past. It's all in God's hands.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.